Welcome to the Wildcast Podcast, coming to you from Wildcast Studios with your hosts, Adam Lund and Jeremy Boucher.
Welcome back to night two of our 100th episode of the Moncton Wildcast Podcast, your unofficial voice for all things Moncton Wildcats. Look, 100th episode, it needed to be big. It just was a little big for one episode. We broke it into two. This is part two. I hope everyone enjoyed part one with Nick Riopelle and Bo Grew last night. This episode will be just as fantastic as that one was. We have former teammates Connor Garland and Steve Johnson joining us. So we will go to that interview. Hope you guys enjoy. Thanks for all of your support. So like I said off the top, I mean, this is a big one. 100th episode. We didn't think it would get here. We needed to make it big for everyone. So we're going to start with some teammates. One was a sixth round, 104th pick in 2012. One was a fourth round and 59th pick in 2012. The Wildcats never missed the playoffs with these guys in their lineup for 4 years. We're very lucky to have Connor Garland and Steve Johnson joining us on the podcast. Guys, thanks for taking the time to be with us. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Just dealing, obviously, with this stuff going on and kind of just, you know, waiting to see what happens with, you know, my season right now. And if, you know, we're going to get back to work or if we're in for a long off season. But besides that, just trying to stay safe.
Steve?
Guys, really excited to be on. It's been a long time coming. I know we chatted about this for a while, so finally happy to get a chance to talk to you guys. And all I can say is what a couple of steals in the fourth and sixth round of the draft.
some value picks.
Some value picks, absolutely. You know, I'll start with you, Steve. Born in Moncton, you grew up, you know, with the Wildcats from day one. Just talk about what it was like to put on that jersey in the Coliseum for that first
game. Stole one of my questions.
It was amazing, you know. Just like growing up in Moncton, diehard Wildcats fan. Went to as many games as I could as a kid and just idolized the players and just wanted to be just like them and play for the Wildcats. So getting drafted by them in 2012 was just amazing. I couldn't even believe it because I remember just playing in my garage, pretending to be a Wildcat. And when that came true, it was just awesome. And that first game, you just never forget.
Playing in your garage, you know, pretending to be a Wildcats player, I guess, who was it that you idolized on the Wildcats roster growing up?
My favorite player growing up was Steve Bernier. He was a great player, a fan favorite in Moncton, and just, you know, just wanted to be like him and, you know, just pretending to score the overtime winners and stuff, and then for it actually to come true, it's just, it's so cool and definitely some of the best experiences of my life.
Funny you mentioned Steve Bernier because he was recently upset in a player poll on our Instagram account by Christian Gaudette, another player that that you're familiar with, Steve. I mean, I've been going to Wildcats games since, you know, day one, and the only besides yourself, I think the only player who, you know, came up through, you know, through the Moncton system. I know Chris was from. From Memram Cook to wear the C, but you know, being a hometown player, you know, you obviously went to Wildcats games, you play for the Wildcats, but to get the C on your jersey as a Moncton kid, what did that mean?
Geez, that just was icing on the cake, really. Just to get the chance to play in a hometown, in my hometown, just once in a lifetime, and then just also have the honor to be a captain, and also I know Chris, so just having his guidance and his knowledge of what to expect and how to carry myself was just awesome. You know, just a dream come true.
So not to leave Connor out of this conversation, but we've chatted with you before. You know what? You know, you came from the States. You were brought up here. You were drafted. You know, they had to kind of recruit you, I guess. Just talk about your time playing for Mr. Irving and the Wildcats.
Yeah, they didn't have to recruit me much. I think I went up there in the summer. I actually played with Steve on a team in a summer tournament. And I just kind of fell in love with the city. And the coach at the time was Danny Flynn, and he was in constant contact with me. So I always wanted to go up there. I think what was keeping me was I did have a commitment to Penn State, and I went to the USHL. And kind of when things weren't going well there and I I called Penn State and looked for some advice on what to do. It was kind of wasn't a warm response or something I was hoping to hear. And they just kind of said, it's up to you. You got a long time till you're here. And I just said, okay. I think one lesson you learn is hockey is go where you're wanted. And I knew I was wanted in Moncton, so I went there and kind of never looked back. And it's the best decision I ever made. The best 4 years of my life, and playing for Mr. Irving, someone with that passion, and playing for some great coaches and having some great general managers and people to learn from. It was just an unbelievable time, and it's something I look back fondly on.
To be honest, Connor, I don't really have a lot of questions about you as a player, because we've had you on the show in the past, so if nobody listened to that episode, tough beans to them. About a month ago, I want to go back about a month ago, you participated in Wildcast Trivia on our Instagram page, and you said your favorite vacation spot was your hometown. Now, I apologize if I pronounce this incorrectly, but Scituate.
Yeah, Scituate.
Scituate, okay, there we go. I was close enough. What makes it so great? Now, I want to get the whole picture here from you. So, I'm married. Okay, I got a daughter. Now, when this whole quarantine thing is up, maybe I'll take your recommendation and I'll go for, a vacation down in Massachusetts. So where am I going to stay and where am I going to go eat in your hometown?
First off, Connor. I'm going to cut you off, Connor.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised that your favorite vacation spot wasn't Moncton, just the way you talk about it.
It would be Moncton is number two. And it's more of just how I am as a person. I don't like going anywhere. I travel, in Arizona from the rink back to my house, and I stay in the house for the rest of the day. So wherever I'm comfortable, I'm happy. So like Steve knows, the only place I go in the summer is back to Moncton for a week. So Scituate is just where I want to be at all times. So it's not like a vacation spot. It's just the only place I really want to be. So I have my little house here, and I can spend all my time there. It's on the water. It's a beautiful town. It's near the Cape. I would say that's probably a better place to vacation. But that was the reason for the answer. Is just because I don't go on vacation. I just stay home.
that just caught my eye.
You got your own house there yet?
Yeah, I moved 5 houses down from my parents. So
there you go.
It's like everybody
just go
loves
home, just go home for dinner, eh?
That's it. My girlfriend lives with me now, so we have dinner on our own. But
there you go.
It's, last summer I did just spend most of my days at their house.
I think it was one of the most lopsided answer questions too, because nobody would think that you would want to go to somewhere in Massachusetts when I had Tahiti and the Bahamas and Hawaii. They're like
What did you say for favorite away rink?
Scotiabank in Halifax.
Halifax, yeah, you always like to go there.
Yeah.
So
you know what I said?
I think I remember it was Cape Breton, right?
No way.
You were hated in Cape Breton. Yeah. You were hated in Cape Breton.
I loved it.
Surprised you didn't say Bay Como. They moved you off the ice.
No, remember in Cape Breton when I put the stick in the logo?
Oh, my goodness.
I love it.
That's why you love it.
Yeah, I hate it.
I think you got booed in every rink, really.
Mostly just the division team, for sure.
My favorite was the time in Bay Como when you came back out for the shootout, won the shootout, and then the crowd starts throwing beer cans, money. I'm picking up loonies on the ice.
They're throwing everything at us.
Unbelievable.
I had to get dressed for the shootout because I got kicked out with a minute left in overtime.
In overtime, yeah. You got a 5 or 4 minute penalty or something like that.
No, you got a penalty.
Yeah,
I yelled at the ref and I got booted.
Oh yeah, the instigator.
And then I got dressed in the tunnel in Bay Como. Roger was standing there. He was like, "You're going back out there." So they had to grab my.
Go! We need you to win the game. We need you to win the game.
I came out for a shootout. Incredible.
Oh, good times.
So I was told to say to Connor, hockey hat guy, and if he would remember him.
Yes.
Is that the PEI guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the guy in PEI.
Yeah, he said just say hockey hat guy to him and see if they remember, see if he lays into me.
I don't think he never bothered me. I never had anyone. PEI was never really sold out, so they never really
believed me. Oh, it's a good thing we have a few listeners over there. But he also said to tell you that he's really proud of someone like your stature making the NHL, and he's now quite a big fan of yours. So,
well, thank you. I mean, that might have been my least favorite place to play, though. Although some of our games used to get canceled, so we would end up playing.
Yeah,
training.
Yeah,
those are fun. We got the game scheduled. Yeah, to go play PEI and get canceled, so we played red versus white for a fake Stanley Cup at the rink.
Those got heated. Those games got heated.
Those would be more fights in those than the actual games.
Those were like our baseball games.
Yeah, we definitely fist fights for a fake plastic Stanley Cup.
What if anybody's? And that luckily that was probably luckily that was before cell phones, so that you might not have a lot of social media viral videos out there of that?
Our trainer made us put our phones in a bag when we got to the rink, so we were all pretty locked in.
That's probably a good thing. You don't want fist fights getting out.
Definitely not.
So Steve,
anytime we turned into intramural for the Wildcats for our team, we were all so competitive.
Yeah, whether it was baseball, we would play wiffle ball after practice.
Oh my God, we would play anything we could.
We'd finish practice at like 3 o'clock and stay till 5 playing wiffle ball in the arena.
Yeah, we'd be at the rink all day. Yeah, we'd be pitch blackout at like 6:30. We just go home for dinner.
Finally leaving.
Yeah, it was incredible. That last year, I was always at the rink just playing games.
Oh man, it was the best year.
So we asked Connor last time we had him on what his favorite pregame meal and stop was, and I believe he said the diner in Riverview, right?
Oh,
yeah, Homestead.
Steve's Diner.
Yeah, Steve's Diner.
Homestead, that's where it was.
Homestead.
Yeah, yeah.
Homestead.
Yeah.
So what was
Homestead, yeah.
What was your go-to spot there, Steve?
Well, Steve knows the town.
I know, that's what I mean. What was the pregame go-to spot?
I like the St. James Gate. Yeah. That's a good spot, but you know, I was lucky enough. I had my mom cooking my meals here. I got to live at home, so I didn't have to go out to eat too often.
I'd call that a win. Nothing better than a home cooked meal.
Yeah, oh yeah, you got that right.
Homestead, we would have like 15 guys there some days, though.
Oh yeah.
Hashtag not a sponsor.
We get the whole team. Like guys from DF would drive over to another
thing from the last time we had. We had Connor on the show. This one's for you, Steve. So Connor, last time we had Connor on the show, we talked about meeting the team at the airport in Montreal before heading to Victoriaville. So what was the feeling around the team that day? Like, did you know, obviously you guys played in the summer together, but did when he first walked on the bus as, I apologize, Connor, but like, I don't know, 5'6", 130 pounds, What was everybody's reaction on the bus? Like, did you guys know you guys were picking up this new player?
We knew we were picking up a kid, and I knew because I was talking with Andrew Flynn, Danny's son, and he said that Connor was coming. So I knew Connor from the summer, but when he comes on, he's got the sunglasses on, and everyone's just kind of looking at him, just like they're like, "What's going on?"
Sunglasses in December, classic.
He's like, This guy's all business. He looks like Tom Brady coming on the bus. and I'm like thinking to myself, I'm like, oh man, there goes my ice time.
Hey, I knew you were going to say that too.
I'm already struggling. I'm getting my 2 minutes a night. I'm like, oh man, more competition now. Here we go.
It's true. Like we were all in the same boat that first year. So
yeah.
Me, you,
there wasn't
anything bad.
Sweens.
Yeah, Sweens. Like we're all just fighting for ice time like that first year. So definitely.
Oh yeah, that was the grind. No,
Yeah,
and we had a lot of pressure. We had a lot of pressure too with it was a go for it year kind of thing. So it was a pretty uptight year the whole time.
So yeah, we could never just find our footing as a team.
No.
I guess I'll kind of just I'll ask it to the same question to the both of you, but I'll start with you, Steve. So in three words, we've seen what Connor can do on the ice, but you know a lot of us don't know him off the ice. So in three words, describe Connor Garland off the ice.
Oh.
And this is a family friendly show.
I don't know. It's hard to put in three words. I mean, like
three sentences.
You know, sometimes he gets pretty wound up, and then other times, you know, he's pretty quiet and just does his thing, goes along with his business, but. You know, like just getting to know him over the years, it's been really great. And then, you know, we've had our battles during the years. You know, it's he's a competitive guy and just expects the best of you. So, you know, you always got to be prepared. And especially when you're playing with him, you know, I got to play with him quite a bit. So, you know, I just had to always be ready and just be prepared. But, you know, he's just a great guy. And, you know, we've continued our friendship after junior.
So, same question for you, Connor. What's Steve Johnson like off the ice?
Well, I mean, he was my captain, right? So, someone I respected immensely, and someone, like he says, you know, we had our battles where, you know, I just wanted to win and kind of at all costs. So, you know, if I was struggling or. You know, if my line mate was struggling, I wasn't mature enough in junior to handle that. But Steve was somebody who would fight back with me. And he was kind of the same way where he just wants to win at all costs. And I think that's why we had so much success because we had a lot of guys like him. So I just think, you know, just somebody I respected in junior, like he was a pro before, you know, before I knew what being a pro was. And then, you know, obviously since, you know, I've left Moncton, it's, you know, our relationship has only become, you know, better, and someone I, you know, I'm fortunate enough to keep in touch with from that group. And, you know, it's obviously nice when I can, you know, go back to Moncton and hang out with him in the summer. So, I mean, it's weird. He's probably my longest tenured teammate. So it is weird, right? I mean, I played, you know, four plus years with him. So it's, you have quite a relationship with somebody like that.
I'll admit, I kind of cheated on Adam about a week ago. I listened to another podcast, and it was featuring one of the Wildcats defensemen from this year, Christian Huntley, and he admitted about some pranks that were played, and he talked about going to Bay Como this season and telling the rookies that they needed a passport to get to Bay Como.
Oh, man, that's a classic.
That's an
auto. So, you get the Americans with that one.
Liam Murphy was in a full sweat.
So can you guys, is that kind of something that's been, is that a joke that's kind of been, you know, tiered down within the organization, or do you guys have any other good ones that, you know, again, PG show that you could share?
I mean, I think our last year, we were pretty fun team our last year, you know, like we do like the classic leaners in the hotel, and then, you know, someone will get mad. So it'd be going back the other way. And then we just end up becoming buckets of water just getting tossed around.
Yeah, I was gonna say until it was my room, I was just bringing a bucket of water. we had one in Chicoutimi where we
goodness, the whole floor.
I took Noah Corson's bed and put it in the hallway. His whole room in the hallway. And then Rumble walked by with Graham Black, and this was in between like game 4 and 5, and it's me and Barb's moving furniture, and he just looked at us. He goes, "You two better be ready to go tomorrow." I was like, "All right." We felt so dumb. Well, Barb's didn't care. Barb was just laughing.
Yeah, Barb didn't care.
No, I was like, "Dude, we gotta be going. Really flying."
And were you flying the next night?
We closed them on 5.
Yeah, I don't think we lost in Chicoutimi.
No, we remember we were the 2 seed and they were the 15 seed and they beat us in game two in Moncton.
Yeah.
And that Pac-Man Goudreau like chirped our bench and I was like, they are not going to win another game.
It was the same coach that was coaching Victoriaville there.
Eric Veilleux.
Yeah.
Yannick Jean.
Yannick Jean.
Oh, Yannick Jean. Yeah. They shadowed me.
Yeah. They tried to do the same thing that they did Yaskin.
Yeah, what's his name? I can't remember that kid's name.
Yeah, me either. Disappeared.
But he was just every time I stepped.
I remember Peter Henry's picture there of him disappearing as a series.
Yeah, that's right.
Kind of like.
I know what you're talking about.
Kind of like Michael Jordan, the dance. They just should have shut their mouth instead of getting you going, eh?
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
Well, yeah, they tied up game two, like. And they like looked at our bench, like him and another kid were like yelling at us, and I was like thinking to myself, like we played terrible in game one and two, and it's 1-1.
Yeah,
and then we went right to Chicoutimi and we swept.
Enough of this crap,
Steve-O. Do you remember we were running in Chicoutimi? It's an all gold
ring. Oh man!
And we were doing a cool down after the game.
Cool down.
Yeah, and this old Chicoutimi fan took a swing at me.
He's trying to fight. He's like trying to fight Connor.
Like a right hand. And like Lane Cormier was like, he was like, I hope
I thought Bob like Cormier was going to fight him.
Yeah, Bob Cormier came up, but Corms is the first guy to be like, whoa.
Yeah.
Swing was like, let's relax. I was like, I'm going to get hit.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a lawsuit.
And then we had Halifax in the second round that year. It was a war.
Mm-hmm. That was an awesome series.
Yeah, that's the highlight of my junior career for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that series was just.
I wasn't here, so I'm assuming that's the seven
that
game
was,
series.
That was a seven game. Yeah,
seven games.
That was
seven games. It means Steve O'Donnell before the series.
Yeah, you were suspended for wasn't it game 3 and 4, right?
3 and 4. Yeah.
Yeah, for hitting.
After we were down 2-0.
Yeah, after hitting you Ehlers, I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah, you hit Ehlers.
I just remember going to game 6 and. I think it was we were sitting in the I forget what section, but I think it was Dubose Billet brought a Ehlers Diving Club sign.
Yeah.
Oh man, I was
that was hilarious.
Leaving Halifax it was heartbroken because I knew I was working the night of Game 7. I wouldn't be able to make it, and I had to like put this stream on my work computer. I ended up getting fired because I was watching the game.
No way.
Really? Yeah.
It had to be worth it.
Oh, it was definitely worth it. Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that.
We got crushed in game 6 though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we almost came back. We started to come back, but
we lost.
I think we were down 5-1. I think we were down 5-1 in the first or something crazy like that.
We were down 2-0 like right off the bat at home.
Yeah. Yeah. And those weren't like we got they took
crushed.
They took it to us those games. Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of like we lost game 1, and I remember thinking, like, game 2 is a lock. We're not going to lose that. And we got slaughtered.
Smoked again, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, we are in one. But it was weirdest thing. Like, nobody like, panicked. That was the craziest thing. Like, we were a young team at that point, but we were in the locker room after, and, like, everybody was just like, now we're going to be in for a long series, that's all. Like, it was, like, nothing.
That's all right, yeah. I remember after I think we won game 3 in overtime.
Game 4 in overtime.
I'm
just looking at
game 4 in overtime. I'm up in the crowd way up at in the nosebleeds with other Wildcats fans. Berkey scores the winner. I'm jumping up and down. I'm hugging the fans. I come down in the dressing room. I'm wearing a purple shirt. My purple shirt is completely soaked with sweat. I was so nervous watching.
I remember that.
It was so funny. Yeah, I ripped my foot off. I was like, I wasn't even nervous, boys.
Willie Smith scored the OT. And then we went to we played game 5 in Fredericton.
Yes, that was awesome.
Oh, man, that was a night. So you guys brought up Willie Smith. Has his music career taken off anywhere? What's he doing?
He's actually been posting songs on Facebook every Sunday, which is pretty cool. Like he's doing really well. He sent me a few songs that he's working on. So, he's definitely continuing that.
Nice. Good for him.
Yeah.
He had 2 OT winners for us in the playoffs.
And one was against Victo. I remember that.
Yeah, that one.
Game one,
triple overtime.
Yeah, we were down 2-0 with like 8 minutes to go.
Yeah, and then Connor took over. Thanks for coming.
Darren,
you scored.
Darren asked me if I was going to play.
I think you got two in a shift.
Yeah, two. Yeah, Darren said to me like late in the 30s, like, are you gonna play or are you waiting for game two? I was like, all right, I get it.
You're like, all right, get me on the ice.
Yeah, I was so bad that first game.
So you guys,
man, those first two games we had triple overtime, then double overtime.
Yeah, remember that goalie was so tired. Oh my god, yeah. We had like 77 shots on him.
I remember Boosh was cramping up too.
Yeah, that's right. We almost had to put like blade in.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you guys had, I'm just looking, 67 shots in game one in double overtime.
Yeah.
Just a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he...
Connor probably had 60 of them.
I was a little rat, and I said to that goalie in game three, because we went back to Victo, and in warm-ups, he used to stretch at the red line, and I just said to him, I was like, oh my god, you look really tired. And he grabbed the puck and he fired it at me. And he got fined $1,000.
That's a fine.
$1,000.
Then he had 49 shots in game two.
6 minutes in, we scored four right off the bat. He was done for the series after that.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, you beat him 5-2 in game three. That's funny. So you guys, obviously, your post-Moncton careers took different turns. Steve, what's been playing in St. Mary's like playing the, you know, ASU hockey?
It's been awesome. At first it was a big adjustment from major junior, actually. It's you know, I don't think people give it enough credit for how good of a development league it is. You know, it's faster, guys are stronger, you know, like out front, like to get pucks in the net, like it's you got to battle hard for that. And you know, my first few years was a little tough adjusting, but my last few years and definitely this year was just awesome, just an awesome experience. I got to play a more offensive role this year, and you know, I definitely felt I excelled at it.
So you guys were in Halifax when all of this COVID kind of stuff, you know, really ramped up, and you know, I think the NBA canceled on Thursday, and you guys played your first game Friday. Were you A, shocked that you were playing, or B, did you think, well, we're all here, we might get this thing done?
Yeah, we didn't really think anything of it. You know, like they released on, I think we played Thursday, so they released Wednesday night that we were going to continue the tournament. And then Thursday morning, they said the same thing. And then we played Thursday night and we won our game. And before the game, our coach comes in, gives us a speech like, boys, we're the only league playing right now. Like, this is destiny for us to win this all. Like, best speech ever. We go out there and just pump Guelph 5-1. And then after the game, we start hearing murmurs about, oh, the tournament's going to be canceled. And then a few hours later, we find out it's canceled and the season's over.
Well, at least you went 1-0 in the tournament, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like every team wants to win their last game. I mean, at least you got to do that, right? How did you find out, Connor?
Yeah, exactly.
Me?
Yeah.
How did I find out?
Yeah.
I was sitting in the trainer's room. I had injured my knee against Calgary. They played one more game against Winnipeg. And I was in there with two veterans, Brad Richardson and Phil. And they were both just saying, like, 100%, you know, the season's done. And I was kind of like, you know, following the COVID. And it didn't sound that out of control yet.
Right.
But, you know, they obviously were talking with, you know, higher ups, you know, than I was. So, and then, I mean, I drove home from the rink after my treatment, and we got a text saying the game tonight's canceled. So it was wild. I mean, I mean, it was just, you know, we're all of a sudden we're in a playoff race. And then, you know, in one day it's, you know, I'm going to the rink every day, you know, on my own, you know, getting treatment. So it was wild.
Right. Like the Phoenix Suns had they don't play in the same rink as you, do they?
No, they don't. No.
Okay. I wasn't sure because a lot of NBA teams and NHL teams share rinks, and I wasn't sure if the Suns and the Coyotes.
No, they used to. They used to. Yeah, we play in Glendale, which is like 30 minutes from Phoenix.
And you're having a hell of a season. I mean, leading the team, 22 goals. Just talk about your year so far.
I had 19 goals.
That is true. Yeah, you did. Yeah. Few less games, but you had, so your average is a little bit better, but just talk about the year. I mean, you guys had a bit of a run in the thick of a playoff race. I mean, you traded for Taylor Hall. I've got my own opinions on that guy, but just talk about the Coyotes year you guys are having.
I think we got off to a great start. Came out of the gate kind of flying there. You know, we played some, you know, big time teams early on in the season on the road, and we were flying. We were first in our division, and unfortunately, you know, our best player is our goalie. You know, Darcy Kuemper. I think he's the best player, you know, best goalie in the league. And I could make an argument for him being the best player in the world right now. So, you know, you lose a player like that, that hurts. And we kind of hit a bit of a slide, and just, you know, we were just finding ways to lose games almost for a bit, you know, 3-2 almost every night, and just couldn't find a way to get that last goal. So those games hurt, and, you know, we're about 4 points out right now. But, you know, if it resumes and we finish the whole regular season, I feel pretty confident about our chances. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
Have they communicated to you we hear it, you know, the media from TSN, we hear the planning and stuff. Do you guys have a player rep that you hear from your owner's rep, or how does that work with what could happen?
We're hearing the same thing everybody else is hearing, just rumors and ideas floated out there. I think obviously you're probably hearing, you know, first, and then, you know, they get leaked out. But it's just kind of, you know, all ideas, you know.
Right.
It's we'll see what happens. I mean, the latest I heard is they got to make a decision here pretty soon. You know, you can't drag this on all summer with guys not knowing what's going on. But hopefully we know we're playing soon, because it's been a while.
Too damn long. I'm ready for sports. last question for me, and then we'll get into fan questions for you guys. And did you win the game yesterday in NHL 20, Connor? Did you beat the Bruins?
No, we got killed.
Oh.
We got killed. No, I never really had an Xbox growing up. The first year I got an Xbox was my first year pro in Tucson. So I never played NHL. So I just, I mean, they were doing scoramas and making trick plays, and I was just ripping the puck. I couldn't do anything.
Keep it simple.
I was getting so aggravated too, but it was obviously on camera, so I couldn't have any reaction.
So now are you playing and getting better off camera?
No, I play Fortnite, and that's it.
What about you, Steve?
There you go.
If they want to do a Fortnite tournament, I'm in.
Yeah, I can't play that stuff. Dobson plays that like
he's
going out of
spares?
Style.
You need any spares? I'm in.
You want to jump in, Steve-O? We might need a fourth.
Oh, I'm in. Anytime.
That's Dobson's not here, but that's his game of record. He's a big Fortnite player. You're a gamer, Steve?
I don't know if I would have been playing hockey professionally if I had a video game like Fortnite when I was a kid. Like, it's incredible how addicting it is.
Oh, man.
What about you, Steve?
Well, you know, sometimes I play at school and, you know, get on 8 o'clock. You know, next thing I know, it's midnight. So I'm like, oh. Like Connor said, pretty addicting. Oh, man, I got school in the morning. Come on now. But, no, like you said, pretty addicting. You know, I definitely enjoy playing some gaming out.
So we put it out to the fans to ask some questions for you guys. So I'll go through a few of them, and they work for each of you, but they kind of work for both of you. What players did you guys hate playing against the most?
Oh, jeez. For me, it's different.
It would be.
What's that?
Mostly every St. John, like every guy in St. John. Just St. John.
Yeah.
I'll pick a team. We had a pretty good rivalry with them. So, yeah. I mean, I didn't have any really friends on that side, so they were easy to hate. And we played them a lot. So, we had a good rivalry, and it was a lot of fun playing those games.
What about you?
For me, it's tough because I just try to base it off of who defended me pretty well. I think Alex Carrier did a good job. I always struggled against Gatineau, and I'd probably give him most of the credit. So I'd say, you know, Carrier, but a guy I respected a lot and who always played hard was Austin Hardy in Halifax. Someone I, you know, would not be afraid to, you know, swing his stick right over your wrist if he had to. Which I respected him as much as I did any player in that league. So I would say him and then as an all-around player, probably Carrier for Gatineau.
So that question was from Big D 1822. I forgot to give props to that.
Great name.
Yeah.
Great name.
Zach _ McNutt. What are you guys doing over the quarantine to pass the time? Other than Fortnite, I guess, as we established.
Other than Fortnite, I actually bought a NBA 2K20. So a couple buddies and I have been gaming that pretty late. And, you know, it's been passing the time. It's been nice to chat with them online. I haven't seen my friends in a long time, so just to talk to them on there, it's pretty refreshing.
I'm just trying to stay, you know, in shape. Obviously, it kind of stinks right now. I came off a knee injury, so I was trying to rehab that for about 8 weeks, and now I'm trying to get back in shape and, you know, continue to work out and, you know, play street hockey when I can and all that kind of stuff. So the day they call and say we're not playing or we're playing, it would be nice so I can figure out what I'm doing right now.
Figure out whether you're staying in Arizona or coming back to Mass.
I'm in Mass right now.
All right.
Yeah, I flew home a couple weeks ago, just because, you know, a lot of my friends were home, and you know, we wanted to, you know, play some street hockey against each other and, you know, try to stay in shape as a group.
So Thomas Tubby Johnson 12. Oh, some people's names are amazing. Your most memorable goal and why?
Most memorable goal, probably game 7 against the Mooseheads. I think I got the fourth goal. It was a 2-on-1.
Look me off. Actually. Look me off.
And the funny thing is I looked him off on this because earlier in the game, we were on a 2-on-1. I passed it to him and he missed. So I gave him his chance. So I figured I'd take my chance on this one, and I was just happy it went in. Yeah, it was just you know, just with the crowd that night and the atmosphere in the rink, it was just it was amazing. Like that was just unreal.
That's tough. I have obviously the record point. Was pretty nice. That was nice to kind of get that. I had thought about that a lot during the season. I knew I was going to be close towards the end and came down to the second to last game. And for me to, you know, set that record was pretty important to me. But I think we played Bathurst my 18-year-old season. Steve will remember this game. We were down 5-0. And we started to come back late in the second. And it ended up being 5-4 with about minute and a half to go, and Zach Malatesta took a penalty. So it was 5-4, and Rumble put me and Barbashev on the PK. And Barb's, I don't know how we ever did it, he held on to the puck for maybe a full minute in the corner, and I just threw it back door, and I tapped in, and I skated all the way to the bench, and we ended up winning it in overtime. And it came back 5-4, win it 6-5, I mean 5-0, win it 6-5. And after the game, Rums told us that he said, you guys are very lucky you came back and won that because we had a bag skate waiting for us in Moncton. So that was probably my most memorable goal, just skating back and celebrating in the bench with everybody.
Alex Petrie 81, what's your favorite skin in Fortnite?
I don't buy them. I will never, ever spend any money on a video
game. The guy in the NHL won't buy any Fortnite skins, eh?
Yeah, mine's like a little monkey right now. I don't know what it is, but it's like a stuffed monkey.
I think I have a Christmas tree one on still.
And then three people. So Beats 15, Brad Innes 44, and Lacour B Sausage, I think, or Bocage. Well, I don't know. They want to know if Steve's coming back for a fifth year at SMU.
A fifth year. No, definitely considering that. just with everything up in the air right now, it's I don't even know what I'm going to do next year. I have some options to go pro, but you know, it definitely would be nice to go back for a fifth year. And you know, we have a great team there, and I have a lot of good friends, but I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do right now.
That makes me feel so old. We're already, that's incredible, 50 year out.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you guys are old, for sure. Well, this has been a lot of fun for me. One of my biggest regrets is I moved to Moncton too late. I only moved here 2 years ago, so I didn't get to see you guys play. But, oh, you know, man. Chris and Jeremy keep me up to date. So does Denny LeBlanc. Keeps me up to date on everything in the history of Moncton. He's been right on it with, you know, keeping me up to date with you guys. So it's been a lot of fun to have both of you guys on this for me. So I truly appreciate you taking the time.
No worries. I mean, honestly, unreal. I mean, obviously, I talk to guys from my Moncton team all the time. So anytime I can talk about Moncton, I'll take an opportunity. And obviously, I know Steve-O. I mean, I don't know many people who love the Moncton Wildcats more than Steve-O. So
Jeremy always, gives him a run for his money. Yeah, Jeremy gives him a run for his money.
Yeah, I have a little bit of an emotional attachment, so we'll say that. But it's a lot different as a fan as it is as a player. But yeah, thanks a lot, guys, for joining us. You know, it's been it was a pleasure watching you guys. I guess, you know, from your rookie years all the way up to your last year as the Wildcats, you know, playing on the ice and giving it your all every shift. Thanks for joining us for our 100th episode, and maybe for the 200th, we'll try to get you guys back again.
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome, guys. Thanks a lot for having us.
No problem.
Well, that's going to do it for the 100th episode. Again, I want to thank everyone that has downloaded this show, followed us on social media, just really supported this show to get us to 100, as well as every guest we've had on the show, including Connor, Steve, Nick, and Bo Grew. All the current Wildcats players that came on, everyone that came in the studio. There's just too many to name, and if I start naming them, I'm going to forget them. Look, I never thought it would get to this point. I thought I'd get 12 to 15 shows, as I said, on night one. So to get to 100 is very special. I want to thank everyone. I especially want to thank, as well, Jeremy, Chris. They got this show elevated to where it is now. Look, we aren't going anywhere next season. When this thing starts up, we'll be there to cover it, which gets started in about 3 weeks with the draft. Draft time's on it upon us. It's going to be a little bit different this season, but you know, we're going to be there. We're going to be here in 2 weeks talking draft prospects, giving you an idea what this 25th season will kind of shape up to be like. So please, in 2 weeks, join us there if you want to learn about some prospects that could be coming Moncton's way. Again, just everyone, 10,000 downloads and 100 shows is unbelievable. I want to thank everyone for this, and I can't wait to see what the 25th season of Wildcats hockey brings us. On behalf of Chris, Jeremy, and myself, again, thank you for all your support, and we will see you in a couple weeks. Have a good night.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Follow us on social media at Moncton Wildcast.